But John chapter 6, we'll begin reading at verse 15. And if you would, let's stand together. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 15. John 6, verse 15, a very familiar portion of Scripture. And it says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we are able to gather together and to enjoy the singing and the preaching, even the giving, Lord, and the fellowship of fellow believers. We ask, Lord, now that you would touch hearts. Lord, if there is by chance one here today that doesn't know thee as Savior, that this would be that day, that there could be rejoicing in heaven among the angels over one that has repented. And Lord, we ask now that your will would be done. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. As we continue our sermons through the book of John, last week we told you that Jesus, having fed the 5,000 men, saw that they were planning to make him a king, even by force if necessary. In Matthew 14:22, tells us that he constrained his disciples to get into a ship while he sent the multitude away. Mark 6:46 says, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And we know that prayer is an important part of our daily spiritual walk. But if you would, take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading at verse 22. As we talk about this story, this event that happened to Jesus, we realize that the miracle of walking on the water is recorded in three of the four Gospels, Luke being the only one who does not record it. And it says in verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. The crowd has been dispersed. The disciples are in a small ship. And Jesus is alone on a mountain praying. We find that they've gone in different directions after the fine meal of the bread and the fish. And the ship, according to Matthew, says, was now in the midst of the Sea of Galilee. It's also known as the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Gennesaret, the Sea of Chinnereth. The body of water is located 60 miles north of Jerusalem in the Jordan Valley. And believe it or not, the water surface is 680 feet below sea level. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? In other words, it tells you that this body of water, the Jordan River and the Sea of Galilee, it never empties into the Mediterranean Sea or any other body of water. It will all end at what is called the Dead Sea because it's all below sea level. The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. Really, it's just a large lake. Zondervan's Bible Dictionary says the Sea of Galilee is noted for its sudden and violent storms caused by cold air sweeping down through the vast plateau of the north, through ravines and gorges and converging at the head of the sea where it meets warm air. Now, in your mind's eye, see the 12 men in this small ship. It's dark. Things are always worse in the dark, aren't they? It's windy. A storm has come on the sea suddenly. The Bible says, but the ship was now tossed with the waves. Tossed. So the question I ask you, in the sea of life, are you being tossed about? Right now, are there things happening in your life where you just feel totally out of control? Financial issues. Now, we know that our government has financial issues, but we know that a lot of Americans have a lot of debt. It's amazing how much the average American owes on credit card debt. There is identity theft and people that are wanting your good credit. There are moral issues. I tell you what, we have so many moral issues today. Even though the Bible tells us how to live, most people don't want to follow the advice of the Word of God. There are family issues. People having trouble with their children. People who are having marital problems. One of the major problems in our society today is pornography. And how many marriages are being ripped apart because of pornography? How many young people are being driven in the wrong direction because of this evil activity? Tossed about because of drugs and alcohol. People who have physical health issues, mental stability, emotional well-being. And then can we talk about time management? How much time should one spend on the internet, cell phones, television? I saw a post the other day. It said, come on over to our house. We're all going to be looking at our cell phones. For the wind was contrary. How is your relationship with the Lord today? How is your walk with your Savior? Are we going in the same direction? Or are we walking in another direction? The disciples were in a storm. They were in a storm. Warren Wiersbe writes, this experience of the disciples in the storm can be of an encouragement to us when we go through the storms of life. Unquote. The storm came as they were in the will of God and not like Jonah out of the will of God. They were in the will of God and the storm was there. Two questions. Did Jesus know that the storm was coming? Yes, he did. Did he deliberately direct them into the storm? Yes, he did. Because it was in the storm that they were able to see who he was. They were to see just how powerful he is. Note, they were safer in the storm in God's will than on land with the crowds out of God's will. Again, Warren Wiersbe says, we must never judge our security on the basis of circumstances alone, unquote. As we read our Bibles, we discover there are two kinds of storms. There is the storms of correction when God is disciplining us, and there are the storms of completion or fulfillment when God helps us to grow. Two types of storms. Those are for correction and those that help us grow. We must not confuse the two. We must not misconstrue what the storm is teaching us. Because many times the Lord is sending us a storm to correct us. And if you're saying, well, it's just to make me stronger, you're going to miss the point. Because it's easier to say that He has sent the storm to make us stronger than to say He has sent the storm to correct us. But the storms will come. But the good thing is that when we go through the storms, the Lord is there with us. Many believe that obedience to God's will produces smooth sailing, but we know that is not true. All you have to do is look at the Apostle Paul and the issues he went through. John 16:33, Jesus says, "In the world ye shall have tribulations." We know that storms are coming. And some of you are going through storms right now. If you were totally honest, and most of us really don't want to be, we would say, yes, I am going not through a storm, but through multiple storms. And while the disciples were in the storm, Jesus was praying for them. Warren Wiersbe again writes, "The entire scene is a dramatic picture of the church and the Lord today. God's people are on the sea in the midst of a storm, yet Jesus Christ is in heaven making intercession for us." Aren't you glad He's there for you and for me? The storms are coming, and we have to get through them. May I say this? Jesus knows our needs. He feels our burdens. He understands what we are experiencing. Hebrews 4:15-16, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of" what? Need. When we go through those storms of life, He is there. I don't know how a lost person gets through life. When we go through the hard times, when you get the phone call that says, my wife has lost the child, how do you get through life without the Lord? How do you get through life when you get the message that someone is having problems with their teenager? You say, the Lord, I must pray to Him for direction, for guidance. Note that while the disciples were in the midst of the storm, Jesus came near. And when beckoned, He joined Himself to them. Verse 25 says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea." David Soroson writes, "The Jews had adopted the Roman system of watches, which began at 6 p.m. Each watch was of 3 hours each. Therefore, Jesus came to them in the early hours, sometime after 3 a.m., unquote. Can you imagine being out on this body of water in a storm at 3 a.m. in the morning? Where would you rather be at 3 a.m. in the morning? Sleeping. In your bed, dry, fed, getting ready for the next day. They're out in this small vessel being what? Tossed about. Verse 26, "And when the disciples saw Him walking on the water, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, was this faith or was this stupidity? It's in the midst of a storm. Here is Jesus walking on the water, and Peter says, Let me come to you, walking like you on the water. The disciples thought they'd see in a spirit. The Greek word used here that the disciples, when they saw him, was the word phantom. They didn't know who he was. But when he called out saying, Don't be troubled, they listened to him. Verse 28, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Amazing. Without thinking, he asked the Lord, bid me come. You know Peter. He's the first one to speak. May I say this, it is never wrong to stretch your faith. It's never wrong to see what the Lord can do in your life. It's never wrong to say, Lord, okay, what else can I do? Verses 29 and 30. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. For a moment, Peter was indeed walking on the water. Do you find that amazing? I think, now I can't prove this, but I think for years, Peter would come up beside his brother once in a while and nudge him and say, Andrew, do you remember when I walked on the water? Do you remember that? And Andrew would say, Yeah, I remember. You cried like a girl when you began to sink. You know how siblings were. But when he saw the wind boisterous, can you feel the wind? Do you feel the water on your cheeks? The sound of the waves in your ears? You're walking on the water. But what happened? He was distracted. How many times have you on a Sunday morning said, Lord, I need to do better and I'm gonna do better. And you walked out the door, going to your car, full of enthusiasm, saying, Bring it on, devil, I'm gonna beat you today. And then the distractions of life. And what happens? You begin to sink. Pockets full of good intentions. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid. Now, let's not tease Peter, okay? At least he got out of the ship. Don't tease him. Don't mock him. Don't say, Oh, Peter, look what you did. At least he showed some faith. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. I remember what I felt when I thought I was going to drown as a young boy. I'd been in a river with some friends and I was on an inner tube and somehow John flipped the inner tube. And so the inner tube was on top and I was underneath and I didn't know which way was up. And I still remember the fear I felt. I tell you what, that's not a good feeling. Today, I still don't like water over my head. When my boys were younger, their one job when we went swimming was to get my hair wet. And I told them, be careful, someone is going to get hurt. Peter was a fisherman, but I don't think he went swimming in rough waters. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Do you note here he didn't shout to Andrew, his brother, or to James and John, who were his partners as fishermen? He didn't call out to Matthew or Simon the Zealot or Nathanael or any of the men in the ship. He cried out to the one who was walking on the water. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Immediately. It was not a long prayer. It was to the point, Lord, save me. Chiding and praising at the same time, he said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? O Peter, you were so close. You were so close. You had faith in me so that you could walk on the water. You were so close, and then you let things get in the way. But at least he had what? Little faith. How's our faith today? How strong are we in our cause for Christ? Verse 32 and 33. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. It was during the storm that they were looking for help, and Jesus came and he helped them, and it was at that time they realized who he was. They saw that he was in control, that he would take care of them. Jesus, is he your Savior today? If so, is he your Lord? Is he your guide? Is he the one that is with you through thick and thin? I find it interesting, the last verse we read in John chapter 6, verse 21, it says, then they willingly received him into the ship. They willingly received him into the ship. Our society needs to willingly turn back to Jesus Christ. Our society needs to turn to the Lord, and it must begin in our churches. Our body of believers must be the ones that lead the way. When they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Talk about warp speed. As I mentioned in Sunday school, tomorrow marks the anniversary of a great day in American history. I'm sure that in Canada and England, they remember this day also, and France and those that were from Poland also who stormed the beaches there at Normandy. And we think of the thousands of American men that died when they were told they were going. And they went. They knew the enemy was well entrenched. They knew that the Germans had been preparing for them. The one thing that happened then that I don't think could ever happen again is that the Americans and the English and the Canadians were able to make the Germans think they were going someplace else. And a lot of the German tanks and whatnot were in another area so that when they came there at Normandy, it wasn't against the full force of the German army, but thousands died. Many sacrificed, even to the supreme cost of giving all. What about us today? Are we so comfortable in our air-conditioned church with the padded pews and the lights on that this is all we really care about? But we need to go from here with the desire to realize that others are dying and they need to be told. They need to be invited. We need to be a testimony for the cause of Christ. We need to be wearing the uniform of a born-again believer. Do we have on the full armor of God? Are we ready for the battle? We need to remember that our enemy is shooting at us the fiery darts of deception, of depression, of destruction. But we have the Lord on our side. Shall we stand together? We're going to sing a song of invitation, and softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Have you come to Him? And if so, are you following Him? Dear Heavenly Father, as we sing this song of invitation, may we be encouraged to come to You if we've never done so. And if we are a believer, may we follow You fully. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen.